When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 179 of Star Wars and Scotch. And we're here to talk about episode 8 of The Acolyte. Tim.
Hey.
Have you ever heard the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
What an episode.
Talk about that in a few, because there's literally no other news. That's all there is to talk about. There's nothing.
Really?
Yikes. Unless the feed is just taken over by Acolyte, then. I mean, that's really.
I didn't see anything.
There's not a skeleton crew director, Lee Isaac Chung, wants series to be repeat viewing for families this Christmas. So that hints that it should come out around then, and then. You know, that it's more family friendly. That's about it. That's really
Yay!
The only other news.
Feel good Star Wars. Woohoo! Gonna need it around that time anyways.
Yay. God knows what the end of the year is gonna look like. Yay. but before we go any further, are you shaking up the way you wake up? Oh, am I responsible for content starting today? I think I am.
Hey Kevin, this is a great time for you to make some content.
I did not plan anything, because I've been putting out fires left and right, because it's a GCX marathon. You'll see my face on King's Coast this week. Got to figure that out right now. King's Coast coffee.com. Make sure you get yours today. Summer swells is out, and before you know it, it'll be fall.
Oh, I love fall.
Although the Halloween people... The Halloween people are like, 4th of July is over. It's Halloween season.
I'm like, there was already Halloween stuff out.
Yeah. In the stores. Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is mind blowing to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like before 4th of July, there was Halloween stuff just sitting there. Like fall decor was already starting to roll out. Like,
look, the best time to buy your Halloween decor is November 1st.
Yeah. November 1st. You get it ready for next year.
And you just put it in the garage till next year. Or be like my neighbor who works for a retail giant. And buys them at a discount, and then his wife sells them after 1 year.
Oh, that's so smart.
Genius.
That's really smart. It's a good, yeah.
This is the same people that put up blow-ups for, like, Veterans Day.
This is the one that's next door to you, right?
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Santa Claus is big at their house.
Yep, and then they do a theme every year for Halloween. So it was Ghostbusters last year, Harry Potter the year before. She always has a theme, so it's
themes?
I like it.
That's awesome.
I just sit in my driveway with a table and offer the adult beverages. That's it. Here, kids, here's your candy. Dad, you want a beer?
Want a jello shot?
So no, the jello shots was the lady around the block who
completely stood me up. That's what people do in my neighborhood. They're just trash.
I was handing out high noons and because my wife wouldn't let me make a picture because she was like, that's weird. People are going to think
a picture of high noons.
No, I wanted to make a picture of Mark's.
Oh.
But she was like, that's weird. I wouldn't take that from a stranger. And then the lady around the block is like, jello shots.
With her fingers in the jello shots. Here you go.
Anyway, all this to say, kingscoastcoffee.com.
Nice. guys.
GCX is here.
GCX is going on right now. You can still get your tickets. I got it. You can still get your tickets. Head on over to GCXevent.com. We'll be at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, August 16th through the 17th. Got lots going on. We got the after party at the end of the 17th. We've got our charity marathon that's going on right now. You can get your charity marathon t-shirts. You can get your GCX merch early. Just head on over to lab77.co if you want to get your merch. But currently, right now, at this moment in time, Kevin.
Chef Steve.
Yeah, I know, but how much money are we at right now? It's Kevin.
I don't know. It's not on the overlay. I'm looking over.
It's darn near close to 600,000. I know that much.
There you go.
So closing in on 600,000, our goal of $1 million for St. Jude this year. And it's only Wednesday. Oh, it's Wednesday.
It is indeed Wednesday. But GCXevent.com/universal gets you. You can get a link for your hotel room, your tickets. Everything's there if you go to GCXevent.com/universal.
GCXevent.com. It's all right there.
It's all there. It's all get there.
Do your thing.
All right.
Do we ever schedule for when we're doing Star Wars and Scotch or any other things? Has that gone up yet?
The schedule is internally. It's not on the website.
Okay, that's what I thought. All right, never mind.
We don't even have guests for Star Wars and Scotch, so it might be
it's going to be uni. You and me, you and I.
You and me. We'll bring Rex up. I didn't watch The Acolyte, but oh my God, Phantom Menace is the best movie I've ever seen. Good morning.
Can't wait. He's doing my charity block with me tomorrow.
I figured. You can't not have Rex in your charity block. It's just so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Did he make you play COD?
No.
All right, that's good.
I'm going to make him play Chained Up, though. Wait, Chained Together. Sorry, not Chained Up. That's a different game we play.
GCXevent.com. Anyway, Acolyte, what did you think?
Man, it was a roller coaster. There was definitely parts that I really liked. There were parts that I was like, and then there was other parts where I was just like, that sucks. So, like, I don't know. I'm kind of like all over the place. I thought the combat was really good. Where do you want to start, Kevin?
I will say this. I think it was a strong finish. I agree with you. There were parts that I was like, meh. But for the most part, I think it was a strong finish.
It was a solid finish.
With the dust settled, I'm not saying this is the rating for the show. I personally say the show is a 6 to a 6.5 out of 10. That's my personal rating on the show.
That's what I gave a couple weeks ago.
I'm sure I'll get crucified for it being above a 2.
Oh, you didn't give it a 1? Chill.
So, you know, but 6.5 out of 10 is where I'm at with the show. We'll watch season 2, obviously, even if this podcast like blew up tomorrow and Tim moved to Sheboygan or, you know, we couldn't do it, even though it's remote, we couldn't do it anymore, I would still watch season 2.
Why did I move to Sheboygan?
I don't know, because I was trying to make the case that even if I wasn't obligated to watch it for Star Wars and Scotch, I would still watch season 2.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Got it. Okay.
Maybe I'll move to Sheboygan. I don't even know where that is.
Iowa?
Is it Idaho? I thought it was Iowa. Did you know Kokomo's in Indiana and it's not in the Caribbean?
Way down in Kokomo. Wait, really?
There's no Kokomo in the Caribbean. It's in Indiana. It just went with the song, apparently.
Oh, man. That's not fun. You can't play that song anymore in the summertime. That doesn't make sense.
Back to Star Wars. Well, all the other places they name are in the Caribbean, but apparently he really wanted to go to Kokomo, Indiana.
Down in Kokomo.
Let's start with the big piece, which was the reveal of Darth Plagueis the Wise in live action. First of all, I thought he looked perfect.
Looked great.
Perfect.
His fingers coming around the corner, he looked like a Death Eater.
And then just his face looks like all of the renderings that I've seen of him over the years. Yeah. It's because there's like two ways that you've seen him drawn. And the one way I was like, please don't make him look like that. They made him look like the other way.
Well, because he comes from the banking clan. Who's the banking clan?
The moon.
He's a moon, right?
Yep.
So the moons look kind of weird. They don't look very scary and intimidating. So I'm glad they still like kept to that like. Yo, this guy's he might not be big and strong, but he's still an evil motherfucker. Like, he nailed it. Like, he looks terrifying.
Yeah. So, I liked that they showed him. One thing I'm confused about is this. So if he's still on, what's the planet called? I can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, with the ore veins.
It starts with a B.
Not Brendok.
No. Planet. I'll look it up. Planet where?
Yep.
Darth Plagueis died. No. He killed Tenebrae there.
Yeah, he killed his master there.
Point being.
Yes.
Why? If Kamir or the Stranger, whatever you want to call him, is trying to get a apprentice, acolyte, whatever it is.
Why is he there?
Why is he there? Unless he knew about the virgins and the creation of life and he sent his apprentice. But one of two things now. His apprentice is either acting against him to rise up and try and kill his master, or he is following his master's orders to the T and deceiving Osha. My thought process is that he's defying his master's order because I think he would have wanted to bring Osha and Mei back to Plagueis if that's the case. Someone in my Discord also threw out, what if he's already tried to kill Plagueis, thought he was dead, and now he thinks he's the master and he's getting his apprentice and Plagueis is not dead and he's sitting there. You know, what if this is the Disney canon of how Plagueis got the scars and got his face all messed up was from Kamir?
But he would still, they're living within such close proximity to one another? No.
That's what I said. I said, wouldn't they sense each other too? So he has to know that he's alive.
I think what happened I have a couple things. So first, Plagueis, Kamir. I think we have to look at it as Plagueis is doing his research. Remember, scientist. He is he's a researcher. He's smart. He's intelligent. He's all about learning everything and anything. So if he learns about this virgins, and he knows that somehow he came to know about Brendok. Somehow he came to know about Mei and Osha. Or he will come to know about Mei or Osha. Let's just say that him and Kamir haven't met yet. Let's say that he doesn't know about the virgins from Brendok. And let's just, for the fun of it, let's pretend that Plagueis doesn't know that you can create life through the Force yet. And so let's think about what he would need to do in order to continue researching this. He would need a subject. He would need something to watch. He would need something to record, and he would need something to test over and over and over again. So now knowing that Kamir had talked to him. Maybe at some point Mei talked to Kamir about the witches, and then he told Plagueis about it, and that's why he sent him off to go get Mei and Osha. I think what happened was, I think we have, you said it last week, Kevin, where like the Sith don't lie. They just kind of twist their words, right? Mm-hmm. I think Kamir still wants an acolyte. He wants an apprentice. He wants someone to teach. He said that. He's like, I want that. I need that. So I think it's two sides. I think it is Kamir is looking for the apprentice. He was looking for the apprentice, and he found that in Osha. He found that in Mei, and then Mei at some point told him about it, and then he went and told Plagueis, and then Plagueis was like, well, I need to know more, so I need you to go get the other sister. And then he comes to find out that other sister is much more powerful than the first one. And so that's why he clings to Mei.
Okay.
It feels very, like, at this point right now, it feels very disjointed, but I don't like the fact that, like, if we're going to have three seasons, like, everything's already figured out. Because, like, if we're going to see Plagueis, and we know that their mom made them through the Force, like, that's essentially Anakin already, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we have three more seasons of this shit, or you have two more seasons of this shit, you wouldn't like want to like figure all that out and get Plagueis involved, go back to Brendok, like learn about the Vergents and like how they were created and like all that stuff. Like that in my mind, that's what season two is all going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Him learning about that, him figuring it all out. So I don't think he knows about them yet. I think like just TLDR, just to get back to the where we started. I don't think Plagueis knows anything about how they were created or anything about the Force Witches.
So the rest of the show then will lead us to how Plagueis figures out how to manipulate the midichlorians.
It's going to be, and then also. I really, really think that we hear Palpatine's voice. Venestra was talking to somebody on the intercom at one point. And I swear to you, it sounded like Palpatine.
The only way that works, you're going to hate what I'm about to say, is the Veil of the Force, which Palpatine was never able to master. That's it. That's the only way you could do that. Because then the echo would echo through space and time. But wait, he does get in it, doesn't he, at one point?
He does. He gets inside of it. Yeah, I don't know.
If he got in it, because he, I can't, again, I'm rewatching.
But Venestra's talking to somebody through the desk intercom, and it sounded just like him.
It wasn't the senator, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, it's when she was going to go meet with... when Senator Rancor was there. And the guy was like... he came into her room. He's like, so-and-so's here. She's like, you let him in? There is a scene where she's talking to someone, and that voice sounded just like him. Now, the timeline could be completely skewed. But it's not that far off.
He won't be born for like...
When's his birthday?
30 or 40 years from then.
Yeah, okay. That which is fair. That's why, like, you know, timeline wise, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, he's definitely but the voice made me go,
what is that?
Think about how the Veil of the Force works and they hear echoes through it and whatnot, like
physically talking to somebody through this then, intercom. Yeah.
I would have to say no then. Simply because it wouldn't add up, and that's the only valid explanation that I could say. So it probably just sounds like
the other cool thing that I thought around that time was Rancor. I like him a lot.
Rancor.
I could have sworn she said Rancor, and I was like, ah, that's an awesome last
just
name.
Said it fast. It said with the subtitles, it was Rancourt or something like that.
Hey, dude, the T could be silent. You never know. It could be Rancor.
Sure. If that's what you want it to be, Tim, then that's what it is.
I liked how he called him out about all their bullshit.
I mean, he is saying, and I've seen this now, there's a new subset of people that are like, why are we villainizing the Jedi? They're supposed to be the good guys. And it's not villainizing the Jedi per se. It's villainizing the pious, pompous attitude of the Jedi. We're not saying all Jedi are evil.
Nope.
We're saying that the Jedi has become the antithesis of what it set out to be by the time we get to the Phantom Menace. And this is the exposing of that.
It's like looking at, it's like the harmlessness of like a small group of monks, right? You know, it's just like they're kind of like, you know, what do they call them? Cloisters. Cloisters?
Cloisters, yep.
You have a small cloister. Right. People, religious people, you know, they're practicing, you know, their religious beliefs. They just want to be left alone, like all this stuff. One example, you know, they're just, you know, very, very peaceful. They might do some outreach. They might go out, you know, spread the word, whatnot. The Jedi, on the other hand, are like the Roman Catholic Church. They are all political, where they use the religious aspects of the Jedi Order and the Jedi Council to set themselves up higher than everybody else. And again, to Kevin's point, they come across as very pious. And that's all he was doing. Like the best quote was saying a bunch of religious zealots. Did he say zealots? He said something along the lines of like a bunch of religious zealots that are that claim to have control over something that is over something that's uncontrollable.
I mean, he's described it very well.
And I was like, yes, that's exactly what the Jedi are.
And
like,
then she's
now,
like, we don't control the Force.
But you try to. That was a whole, like, on it. And that, go back to the path of the open hand. Like, she wasn't wrong. She was right to a certain degree. Like when they were talking about how like the Jedi, instead of being with the Force, they wield the Force. They use the Force. They bend it to their will. Instead of being like a river and just, you know, giving yourself to it, they try to harness it. They try to use it for themselves. And I think that's all, like, and so like that's not entirely true, but I see where she's coming from. And I love this. I love the way that we are setting this up in Star Wars. And even Luke talks about it in episode 8. Like, this is the other part where I'm so confused and why people are like, look at everything. Like, listen to Luke when he's talking about the Jedi Order in episode 8. He wasn't wrong. Everything was right. I like it. I would like where the High Republic has taken us. Because this isn't just the theme in just Acolyte. This is a theme that we've kind of been dabbling in since the first book.
And I'll say this, because I got to get it out of my system. We called it. They swept it all under the rug. And the moment they announced this show, Tim and I were like, well, the Jedi would, because people immediately, well, this hasn't been seen in 1,000 years. They swept it all under the rug continuously throughout the entire show. And then in the was it a tribunal that she was sitting in front of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the tribunal.
Very pretty. I love that. I love that dress. That was cool.
I think that's what the robes that they talk about in the books when they say they put on their formal robes. Mm-hmm. I think that's what that was. In the tribunal, she lied again. And why is she going?
She framed Soul for everything.
And why is she going to Master Yoda? To tell him everything. So now people are going to be like, well, Yoda knew. And it's like, man, Yoda didn't tell anyone. He freaking went to Korriban in Clone Wars. He just went. So stop with this whole thing with Yoda being this whole like, oh, the other thing I've seen too, the other complaint is that Yoda should have known already, Tim.
Oh my God.
Because apparently Yoda's this all-knowing, all-powerful being. No, the whole point of that scene.
He's fallible, like everybody else.
They're going to hide it. That's the whole point, which is why someone else traced it back and said, notice when they say that in Phantom Menace, Mace is not in the least bit surprised.
No, because he even looks at Yoda. He even looks at him. Isn't he like sitting like this? And he kind of just like looks over at Master Yoda.
Looks over.
Yeah. And then he's like,
they knew. I'm going to throw up my craziest theory. Has nothing to do with the lore itself. It has to do with how the show was made. This is my craziest theory, and I'm throwing it out there. I'm going to get staked for this one.
Bring it, baby.
George knew when he wrote it that they were lying through their teeth.
Ooh, George, I like that.
Passed that on to Dave. Yeah. Dave gave Leslie the green light.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
To create the backstory for that little glance.
Oh my God.
So the whole city that you've built on the Sith haven't been seen in 1,000 years, which I've said since day one is BS, because there was always two, at least. Yep. Always two. But you're telling me in the whole galaxy, no one ever found a Sith artist that fact tried to say they were a Sith dark side force user, and then Master and Apprentice were like, nah, whoosh, head chopped off. And I loved in episode five when he was like, your existence basically says I'm not allowed to exist.
Yeah. Right.
So why wouldn't they live in hiding? But why wouldn't they? And why wouldn't the Jedi hide when they pop up from time to time?
I think one of the real, I was thinking as I was getting ready for the show, one of the things that I really like about this, because like I was doing the dishes and I was like, man, I really like that we're getting back to this whole like kind of like putting the bad guy in the spotlight, and it's not just like the rah-rah, like go good guys kind of show. And it was always funny. We talk about how like, you know, like Tim loves the Empire and you know, the Empire did no wrong, but like the Empire is space Nazis. But like there is no inclination, there is no indication, there is nothing that makes me believe that Kamir wants to take over the galaxy.
No.
There is no indication to me that the coven of witches wanted to take over the galaxy.
No.
But we always end up framing these bad guys as these like galactic warlords that are of like the same classification as Palpatine. Palpatine was the evilest of all the motherfuckers. Because he wasn't just using dark side. He wasn't just using dark side powers. The guy was out there strip mining planets. He was putting people in concentration camps. He was
political
killing
subterfuge. Like yeah, he was, did all like, of it.
We could go through the entire like the entirety of the empire and be like, this is all bad. But I, like outside of like an eye for an eye, you know, like maybe you know doing unnatural things that may not go with what you believe in. But outside of that, like they're not doing what the Jedi Order is doing. I'm just throwing it out there. The Jedi Order is doing some dark stuff right now.
Most of the Sith desire power. Power is objective.
But power can be classified as so many different
ways. That's
what
I'm saying. Power is objective from that point. It's what you want it to be.
Like for me, power is like strength. Like I love being strong. But for some people, power is knowledge. Some people love knowing everything and anything that they possibly could find. But to them,
Plagueis.
That's power. Like Plagueis. Exactly. Your homeboy, one of the Sith emperors, didn't he end up, wasn't he like a really good guy? But he just ended up using, he was just more aligned with dark side powers?
There is a Sith who was like very benevolent and was good to his people in Legends lore. I forget his name. But he was just a good person and used his powers for good. But he tapped into the dark side and used the dark side. It's the same is when you play KOTOR and you talk to Jolie Bindo and he talks to you about all the benefits of tapping into the dark side.
Right.
Like, why shouldn't we fight with the Mace Windu concept? Why shouldn't we fight with anger?
Right.
It fuels us. It makes us stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's again, we're exploring once again the vastness of the Force and we're exploring the gray areas and not just keeping it as to black and white like we have in previous iterations of Star Wars. And the best Star Wars is exploring the gray areas.
Because we've been conditioned, as Star Wars fans to be along the ride for the Skywalker saga. That's all we know. That's all we know of Star Wars is everything that fits within this box. From really, I would say from Clone Wars from Episode 1 to Episode 8. We're pretty much in the Skywalker saga. Like 9, like, yeah, but that's more of like, I feel like that's kind of like its own thing. 8 is when it really ends. Leia dies, Luke dies. Sorry, spoiler alert. Like that's pretty much it. Like, okay, like Leia didn't technically die until Episode 9, but I mean like she Mary Poppin'd herself back in there. She should have died.
Could you imagine getting to this podcast and that's a spoiler? Continue.
Holy
sorry.
Fuck, that would be wild. So we've been conditioned to just be aligned within this Skywalker saga. And the Skywalker saga is all about the Skywalkers and the Emperor. Like that's really it. But there's so, and we've talked about this many times. There is so much more to Star Wars. There are so many different angles that we get to look at this galaxy from a long time ago. And it's really reassuring to me to see Star Wars in this light, because this is the Star Wars that I've wanted to see from like Star Wars Battlefront 2. That like having the single player story that was sold to us is like you get to play as the Empire. You get to see it from the other vantage point. You get to understand Star Wars from a different point of view. And I feel like in my mind, we are experiencing Star Wars, a facet of Star Wars that really hasn't been touched on. And it's the fact that there is just more outside the Jedi Order. There are other ways that people live their lives with the Force.
Mm-hmm.
There are other ways that people live their lives just in this galaxy that was from a long time ago. And so, and I think that's really cool. And I think it's honestly neat to paint the Jedi and to pin them against the wall of this, we are screwed. And if we don't manipulate the government, we don't manipulate people's thoughts and ideologies towards us, we're screwed. We're done. We don't exist anymore. So right now, like the Jedi are in this fight or flight mode. They are in this survival mode. They're trying to do everything. Well, Venestra is trying to do anything and everything to save herself and the Order. And I honestly like Venestra Rowe in the sense of like she is like this person that I just can't stand. And I have had a bad feeling about her from the beginning. She just never really like just she always was doing something. Where I was like, that's shady. I don't know. And that's cool that a Jedi master can be painted that way. I like that.
Someone did point out something interesting in my Discord. Venestra, and again, Jason's age would come into question here. I called him Jason again because of good place. Kamir's age would come into question here. But when Vernestra is younger, she loses a Padawan behind the Stormwall. But the age would be the question, unless Plagueis is involved.
We don't know how old he is. He said he was old. He said he was old. He even said, we don't know what race he is. He might not just be just a generic dude from Florida. He might be from somewhere where they age a lot slower.
Or Plagueis is messing with his midichlorians.
Or Plagueis is manipulating his body in certain ways. Maybe he is Plagueis' test subject, which would make sense.
So, yeah.
But he even said it. Again, we called it out. The Sith speak in riddles, in rhymes. They twist the truth. They tell the truth, but they twist it. They don't lie. Very rarely do they really, like, truly lie. There's always an ounce of truth in everything that they say. And he told them straight up. And if they tie the Stormwall into this, that's going to be so sick. Because then we get to see what it's like. Because if we get a flashback, then we're getting Nihil. And then we get to see like what it was like for him behind the Stormwall and how he survived and what he had to do. Where did he go?
And the show likes flashbacks, so.
I gotta say, one of the coolest parts for me in this though was watching the Kyber crystal bleed.
So I have a question about that.
That was cool.
Cool visually, but I have a question. I thought you had to do continuous acts. Unless cold-blooded murder is just the end-all-be-all.
It is the ultimate act.
Because Baylan's lightsaber is still orange.
Right.
And we know that he is essentially, I don't want to say it, but for all intents and purposes, a dark Jedi at this point.
Right.
Why is Baylan's lightsaber not fully bled, but hers is?
Because Baylan's not evil.
And he's not killing people.
He's not killing people.
Passion.
He's not killing people for the sake of killing people. Baylan is still true to the good side of the Force. He is not abiding to the Jedi Order and to the ways of the Jedi, but I truly think Baylan in his heart is doing what is right. He's like one of those, like, think about it in like a medieval sense. Like, he's just like one of those, like, who were the guys that went on the crusade? He's a crusader. He's essentially a crusader. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like he's going in. I mean, like, genocide, bad. But in his mind, he was doing what's right.
So for her, crime of passion, cold blood murder.
Yes.
Is the ultimate, and that's why it turned red immediately.
But it didn't turn red immediately. Did you see how it flickered? Because that showed you that she had, it was the transformation of her through that. That was a visual experience of watching her go from, like, because you saw the Kyber crystal, it went red, right? It turned red as she was snuffing the life out of him, and then she ignited it and it was blue. And then it started to, it did that, like, lightsaber VFX. Have you seen, like, the really cool lightsabers that do the really cool ignition animations? It did that thing where it was like, and it was like blue and then red and it was fighting itself. That was so cool because that was the internal struggle. That was the internal struggle within Osha. And then she let go and then she just accepted and full red. But I would say that, like, that is a heinous crime. Like, that is by far the most heinous thing that she could commit. Now, if she just did that over and over and over and over again, sure. But I think, like, to turn it, I think, like, being like, because she fed all that hate and anger. We saw how powerful she was. I think you have to go back to the beginning of when she put on the sensory deprivation helmet and she was literally possessing Khmer outside the helmet. Because that's what she did. She did the whole witch thing. His eyes turned black. He went into a vision. Like, she possessed him with witch powers outside of the helmet that was supposed to be this whole sensory deprivation thing. She's possessing somebody. Mm-hmm. She's strong. she's very, very strong. So it's far more than just like she's, you know, she committed a heinous act. I think she was, she finally focused all of that hate, all of that anger, everything that she was hanging on to, because you have to look at the progression of this episode too. We start off with Osha putting on the helmet. She possesses Khmer as he's trying to remove the helmet. Like, he knew something bad was going to happen. So he gets possessed by her because of her powers are just unbridled. They're raw. She has no idea how to control this. She has no training at all. And then we continue to move forward. Her attitude changes. She essentially becomes the flip side of the coin. She turns, and you can see that. So Osha has the dark clothing on. May has this white clothing on now. They've flipped roles. May is essentially wearing the clothes that Osha was wearing in the beginning. And that's what this whole thing is about. May and Osha are the same person. They are one. They are two sides of the exact same coin. They are yin and yang. They are good and evil. And the good and evil have rotated. And then the good person now has their memory wiped. And the bad one is going to go become this apprentice, which I really think is really cool. If you start from the beginning and go to the end of this, this is why I think this should have been a movie, Kevin. Mm-hmm. This should have been, because this is a beautiful transition from Osha to May and May to Osha. It's a circle. And that's everything about this, about Acolyte, has been about you know, the rings, about the dyad, people being connected. The flip side of coins, you know, it's just like, it's very, very interesting to watch the progression of all this. But anyway, so you watch her continue to change. When they get to Brendok and they're in their bedroom, she is full of rage. She's screaming, she's yelling, and May's kind of like, whoa, dude, chill, relax. You know, she's definitely becoming more calm. It's just very interesting to watch it all progress until you get to the point where Osha had a vision about what she thought was May, but it was herself. She had a premonition of what she was going to do, not what May was going to do. But at the same time, they are the same person, so they can kill without a weapon because they just use the Force. Mm-hmm. Which I think is like, which is so like fun to think about when you're like, no, they're not two individuals. They're just two halves of one person.
Thing. Yeah.
They are literally the perfect balance of good and evil.
I will say that May's mind wipe, also legend.
I was not happy about that, though. I felt that that was a quick out, and I wasn't happy about it until we got to the Jedi Council.
They do it all over, like literally the story of KOTOR. Both of them start with mind wipes.
Because you completely lose your memory.
But it never works. That's the
right
thing.
Because it starts to come back. That's why it didn't work for her either. It didn't work for her. She still remembered the rhymes. He even Khmer said, he's like, I can try, but it might not work.
Which is why he said that, because that's going to be how we loop back around to them. And that's how we
get into KOTOR.
Yeah, because I mean that's the story of KOTOR 1, is you getting your memory back. You don't know that the whole game. You think you're seeing visions.
But you get these little visions and like hints of like where you come from, and that already happened to May.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate the genius of that storytelling, that you're literally playing a game for 40 hours, watching these things you think are visions, but they're memories of your character? Oh my God. Sorry, I had to.
No,
favorite game of all time.
But it's so cool. And it's neat to see that in different mediums. So we're seeing that now in a show, which from, but Kevin, that was 20 years ago.
25 now?
20 plus, 20, 20 plus years ago is when we got to experience KOTOR, and now we're getting to experience a lot of that now in a TV show.
Why am I so, 21 years ago on Monday.
Yeah, so 21 years since, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, and we're now getting to see, you know, really cool stuff that we experienced in a video game. And now we get to see it in a TV show. It's been really fun. They did a really good job. But let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll hop back into more Acolyte after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Never get locked out from lost keys again. Menards carries a huge selection of electronic lock sets. Get a TrueBolt touchscreen deadbolt that features one-touch locking and 50 programmable user codes. Available in matte black or satin nickel finishes on sale now through September 8th at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big money at Menards.
All right, and we're back. We're on Acolyte. So, what a crazy thing. Murder mystery. That's what it was. He even called it a murder mystery. That's what it was.
And then she admitted that there had been multiple murders. An eyebrow went up like, oh?
Yeah, that's what it was. He was like, he called out the fact that they were solving a murder mystery. And I thought that was hilarious. That they called it out, like the whole premise of the show. Of like them when they sold it to us, they're like, yeah, it's going to be a Star Wars murder mystery. And then he said that, no, you guys are dealing with a murder mystery, huh? It's just like, it's internal. Everything's fine. What do you mean by internal? Just Jedi are dead. Don't worry about it, sir.
Multiple?
I love that throughout the entire season, we've watched Jedi try to hide things, sweep it under the rug, and try to forget about it. And people are still like,
stop talking shit about the Jedi.
Hey, Tim, since Leslie Headland is such a huge Legends Coder fan, could we go to Corbin next season? And yeah. Can my lifelong childhood dream of seeing Corbin in live action be fulfilled?
I mean, that would not surprise me if Plagueis and Khmer and May, Osha, whoever they are, they end up in Korriban at some point.
I'm trying to think of a reason why they would go.
I don't think we're ever going to have three of them. I don't think we're ever going to have the three of them together. No, I think it's always going to be Khmer and May or Osha.
Either Khmer's tricking her and Plagueis will be watching from the shadows.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Khmer is thinking he's pulling one over on his master and Plagueis will be watching from the shadows.
I think Plagueis is the puppet master in all of this.
And then either Khmer or Osha will be eating a lightsaber from Plagueis at some point.
And then he wouldn't do it. He'd have somebody else do it for him. He'd make them do the dirty work.
Fair.
That's how Plagueis works. Plagueis looks remember, he's not a fighter. He's not a strong fighter. He's an opportunist.
Unless the other theory is true, that Khmer is not a Sith and that Plagueis is on assignment from his master right now because
I forgot about that part.
Because Baldemnik is the planet where Plagueis kills Tenebrae.
Yeah, I know that, but I thought we already, but like we're 100 years before episode one, like we're starting to get into that line of
like,
about that time. I mean, I guess that would make sense if Tenebris was still... Oh, that would be such a good twist, too.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a solid twist. So they changed the book a little bit, right? Now I have to go back and read this book. Fuck. So they changed the book a little bit, and we won't get Plagueis and Palpatine together, but maybe the end of Acolyte is the beginning of Plagueis and Palpatine.
That was my thought. If you went this route, you know, he's on assignment from his master. Somehow through a series of events, he ends up killing Khmer and he ends up killing Tenebrae. Maybe he gets May or Osha to do it since she's so powerful. I think if they want to keep the Legends nuts happy, they have to have Plagueis kill Tenebrae. That has to happen. But perhaps, you know, he's like, I have room for an apprentice now, you know, like Joker breaking the pool stick in The Dark Knight, like we're aggressive expansion. Mm-hmm. And he throws the one piece in the middle for the three guys.
And he makes Khmer and May fight it out
to become OSHA his next apprentice. Then we go through and then something happens along the way that leads to Palpatine becoming his apprentice and not obviously OSHA.
Yeah. I think this show is going to be full of many twists. Like I if you would have told me that Sol was going to die by the end of it, in the first episode, I would be like, nah, probably not.
We can also time jump. There's no reason for us to stay in the time frame that we are anymore. All the people that would be
most
relevant
definitely
to that are dead.
Agreed.
Bernestra will live longer because yep. She's a Miri Allen. And everyone
Yoda,
else
we know
will
we
age.
Know that Yoda's alive. Yoda's gonna be fine. Anywhere. But like OSHA and May could definitely get older. Maybe May, like, you know, like we have no idea what's gonna happen with May. You're right. Everything that every story piece from this season that held us in place is gone, except for Venestra.
And she's old enough, she will live longer because she's a Miri Allen. So,
if season two starts and it says 10 years later, like that would, like 10, 15 years later, be like, okay. I would be fine with that because we jump back 16 years for a whole like, two episodes to see what happened. Totally fine with that.
Leslie Headland has purposefully said there are two Sith in the show. She will not name who the Sith. Well, we know who one is.
We saw
now.
One.
We don't know. It's either Khmer.
It's
or
not Khmer.
Tenebrae.
It's not Khmer. I can. I think. I because was who what we've seen so far are just people who can use the dark side of the Force. That no one has said that is the path to the Sith. Because just because you use dark side, just because you do dark things, doesn't mean that you are a Sith.
Well, the Jedi proved our point is that the Sith is the boogeyman at this point to them.
Yes.
Except the few that know the truth.
Right.
Which I'm sure Yoda's in that camp. It will not surprise me in the least if we cut back to season two and Vernestra's explaining everything to Yoda and he's like, yeah, I knew the Sith were out there. Mm-hmm. Would not surprise me in the damn least.
Or he was already like on mission to like go find them or he was already working on it.
Yeah, like would not surprise. But he's still going to hide it because he knows it can't get out because he doesn't want tiny Padawans getting curious and going looking. And he also understands the importance of keeping it a secret to preserve the Jedi Order. Because at this point, he's still rah-rah Jedi Order. As we get closer to the prequel series is when his trust in the Jedi Order starts to break. And that's when he starts breaking more of the rules. He's a rule breaker, period, end of sentence. But that's when he starts breaking more of the rules and, you know, kind of starts to form a new opinion on what the Jedi is, what they should be, how he failed them, how the numerous councils he's been on has failed them. That's when he starts to formulate that opinion. But right now, I think he's still rah-rah Jedi. And he's probably okay going along with the propaganda.
The good guys can only be the good guys for so long. At the end of the day, it's one of those things where it's like never meet your heroes because you're going to be really disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now we are getting to see the things that we never wanted to see. We never wanted to admit that they were fallible. We never wanted to admit that the things that we aspire to be good, thoughtful, caring. Like all of the pillars that the Jedi stand on, that they're all built upon really, like those pillars stand upon really heinous acts. I think what's going to happen is that we are going to find ourselves in a point at some in down the road. You know, this might not be tomorrow, and it might be 5-10 years down the road, but we might find ourselves in a point where we just end up living in the middle.
So the only canon entry for Darth Tenebris, I know I keep saying Tenebrae, I know he's Legends, it's just hard for brain to keep up with us and A, is that he designed the Scimitar, which is Darth Maul's personal ship, so maybe we'll get a glimpse of that. This is all the canon entries, not Legend. And then with a number of other ancient Sith lords, Tenebris served as the namesake of one of the Sith trooper legions in the Sith Eternal Cult. Mm-hmm. So he's in episode 9 with the
that's
name.
How they
with can,
that's how they canonized him, yeah.
Yep. And then he was mentioned in the Star Wars Build the Millennium Falcon book or magazine. And then he was mentioned in Star Wars Insider 130, The Tenebrous Way. And that's it.
Yeah. So he's set up perfectly be revealed.
He's mentioned in the Darth Plagueis novel, obviously.
Right. But that's not canon.
So there's nothing. Nothing. And now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, it makes far more sense for Kamir not to be a Sith.
Yep.
And to have figured this all out on his own.
Yep.
Especially if he's the Padawan who got trapped behind the storm wall. And then got to this point, and now that he's revealed himself to the Jedi, all of a sudden Plagueis is like, bro, what are you doing?
Honestly, Kevin, like the more and more you think, like I know you brought this up last week or the week before, but I like that.
I like it too.
And now this whole idea of like him like peeking out, like maybe he now understands, he's like, I'm on the right track.
Right, which would then lead to, you know, the Legends piece of him being on Beldemnik.
But he talks about his master, doesn't he? Doesn't he talk about his master? Oh, but what if he's talking about Venestra?
He could be.
Not talking, because didn't he talk about his master at some point? I'm going to have to go back and watch this season.
Before he's revealed himself, he says he'll be angry, the master, and he's okay, referring all right, to himself.
So I thought from when he was Kamir.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so Kamir was talking about himself in the third person, essentially.
We think.
Yes. That was the master part. Honestly, Kevin, like the more we talk about it, the more that theory really makes sense.
That Plagueis the more is of like still the we've apprentice.
We've been in the shadows. We've been conducting ourselves with the utmost secrecy. We do not reveal ourselves to the Jedi. We understand that our ways are to be frowned upon, and we are okay with that. But now we got this guy who's horny with power because he's got himself a little sexy red lightsaber that he found. Because I don't think he created that. Did he make that himself, or did he take it from somebody?
If it was a Jedi, he probably may. If he was a Jedi,
do you think he learned how? Do you think he learned how to make a lightsaber?
Well, he probably had his lightsaber if he got stuck behind the storm wall. And then he added the little
modified little Tonto blade on the end.
Yep. And then it's red because he bled it. That's probably his Jedi lightsaber. The way Vernestra said you and the way
I know, dude, it was very visceral. She's like, you're still alive.
And the way he scrambled to put his helmet back on was very telling. And then she, even with the helmet on, she felt him staring at her.
Yeah, when she looked in the corner, he wasn't there anymore. They're both bad MFers, dude. She's over there like trying to frame everybody. She's like, I'm so sorry, my friend. He did it. You know
what? What if the Sith don't have to kill Kamir? What if Vernestra ends up killing Kamir, and then after he kills,
then they sit in the shadows again.
Then Osha's.
Oh my God! Then
Plagueis
that's the
new.
Yeah,
apprentice.
I and like that. I'm honestly really pissed that we didn't get to see a lightsaber whip this episode. I'll be honest with you, Kevin. Vernestra was in this heavy, and we never got to see the lightsaber whip. We only got to see the lightsaber whip one time. Very disappointed with that. Everyone's throwing a fit. I really wanted to get the internet all riled up. So
I forget
hopefully,
where I saw it. They're not lightsaber whips aren't even new to canon, apparently.
They're not. They're not new. This has been around for a bit.
So I'm with you. I think Plagueis is currently the apprentice. He's yep. on assignment because they've been exposed, even yep. though they didn't do it.
Right.
And they're gonna find this. I don't know how it adds up, but I really like Kamir being the Padawan that was left behind the storm wall and getting flashbacks of him surviving in Nihil territory.
I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense.
Then they could introduce the Nihil into live action without actually putting them into the current timeline for Acolyte, which is perfect.
Well, because it's just like what we saw.
Tim, we could get Drengear too.
Well, yeah, because we also like that happened in Mando. Like we have yet to see, we got to see some stuff from Clone Wars that you didn't get to see in, in other shows and stuff. Like that was really cool. Like that was neat to get to see in live action.
So. We also saw it in Ahsoka with the weird Veil of the Force scene.
Yeah, exactly. So like there are bits and pieces of things that we only ever saw in animated or maybe only like read in a book. So I think that's what they need. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, and then I think Vernestra kills Kamir, and then...
Which would be perfect. That'd be very poetic.
Yeah, because she would have to live with the fact that she killed her Padawan.
That's what all of this... That's what at the end of the day, that's what the theme of this show is regret. And living with the mistakes that you've made your entire life. Sol had to live with that for 16 years.
I mean, like you said, the show could end with Palpatine, which I with a time jump, I could totally see that. The show could also end with Yoda being like, there are always two, no more or less, you know. Or agreeing that with the council, like, we cannot let this get out. This has to stay between us.
Right.
Knowing that in 100 years, only him and Yariel Poof, and now we know Ki-Adi-Mundi are going to be the one who's not even on the council yet.
Right.
Those are the ones that are going to know the truth. And then we know from Phantom Menace now that Yoda probably told a few of his buds as well, which is why Mace is like,
all these Sith on my motherfucking plane. Yeah, it's, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it just humanizes the Jedi even more. Like,
yep.
And think about how they've been building up Star Wars. They are trying to make Star Wars visually a masterpiece that you can go from the very first, whatever one is going to be, whatever the starting point of Star Wars will be, and whatever the end point of Star Wars will be, it is going to be a thing where you can hit start and you can watch every single piece of Star Wars visual medium and have this beautiful connected story all the way through. Look at how they've been pushing the movies. Like you go and you watch Rogue One. You watch Rogue One. Rogue One beautifully goes into Episode 4. You watch any of like the clone. You watch any of the Clone Wars shows and Rebels and whatnot, and it all beautifully goes into each other. You know, it's just like and it continues on. We get to see how Boba Fett. We get to continue on the story of Bo-Katan and the Mandalorians, and it's all starting to tie in together. So it's just like this beautiful progression through, you know, whether it's animated or it's live action, and you just get to watch it all the way through, and it all is becoming interconnected. And I think that's really cool. And I think that's what's going to happen is that Acolyte is going to be that bridge between the old and the new, old being like Old Republic, you know, everything before Episode 1. And then it just pushes us right into that. So and then you can go into Episode 3 going, have you ever heard the tale of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And you're like, I just watched Acolyte. I know everything about that guy.
This is why, and I know there's people out there that don't like storytelling the same way I do. I like universes. I like playgrounds. Because even if you make bad content, I'll still probably pay attention to it if there's other good content coming or prior to it or whatever.
It gives you the freedom to move around. You can be in different places. When you have a linear story, you're stuck.
It's a living world. It's, you know, that's why we always reference back to things like Middle Earth and Westeros when we're talking on this show, because they're all, the galaxy far, far away is a living world, just like those places too.
Yep.
And the more content you create in those worlds, you know, and that's where the discourse comes in with the fandom is the passion for, you know, we want the living world to be what we thought or we wanted it to be. The best example I have is Destiny. I wanted Destiny to be a thing that it never became.
Right.
And that's okay. That's just what it became. But that's the problem with a lot of the discourse is it's like, I wanted the world to be this or the legends said it was this. And they're going through it with Game of Thrones now with House of the Dragon. People are getting mad because stuff in the show is not happening the same exact way it happened in the books. They do it with The Boys, you know, oh, it's not exact. I'm like, they deviated from the comic like a season ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I know out there for a lot of you, you want it to be the legends, you know, come alive. I will say this. Given the current state of where they're at with Lucas, because it's not Disney, it's Lucas at the end of the day. It's not Disney. Disney goes, this is good, this is bad, good. We'll fund it. That's what Disney does. Lucas comes up with the ideas. Lucas does the linear storytelling. Lucas does all of the things that you're complaining about. Disney just goes, we will give you money, we won't give you money. That's all it is.
Yep.
So it all comes back to Lucas at the end of the day. And I don't mean George Lucas, I mean the company he founded.
Yep.
So And now people are fighting whether George is really, you know, credited as...
Hell, if you want to be mad at anybody, you can go be mad at Kathleen Kennedy or Doug Chang or like any of those.
There's a thousand reasons to be mad at Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, I mean, like there's so many things that you can be like, instead of just go swinging at the mouse, like you said, there are other people in leadership roles that have been around for a long period of time that I'm sure had a vision. Yeah, everyone has their own vision for these things. And but I'm sure just...
Dave just got the creative reins.
Right, and look how everything feels now. Versus how things felt when Kathleen Kennedy was pushing out movies left and right.
So,
we were going to get a Star Wars movie every year. The way that it was going is that every year, or like every other year, was going to be like a hot Star Wars movie. But it felt forced. It didn't feel right. The movies felt bland and dry. And like, look what we're getting now. The type of content we're getting has depth to it.
I would love. In a calendar year, an animated series and two television shows, or an animated series, a television show, and a movie, whatever the cadence is between that. I think that would be the perfect cadence of Star Wars throughout the year, is one animated show, one live action, or two live action shows, or one live action show and a movie. Either one interchangeable, in my opinion. Because at this point, it's cheaper and easier to make a movie than it is to make a television show. But the television shows make more money because they can sell them to the networks and get subscribers for more money. Right. So that's why you're seeing television shows now taking over for movies. Which is why Dune stands on its own as a masterpiece right now. Because the guy made two killer-ass movies. Apparently, he's making the next one, which I'm shocked at. Because that one's gonna get freaking weird. But Dune is a movie, and I'm shocked that they didn't try it. But
it could have been
again,
a show.
Living, breathing universe. We're getting the Bene Gesserit story as an HBO series. So
right. So now, living, breathing just universe, like Star Wars, it's doing its own thing.
Because Star Wars and Marvel proved that you can have a living, breathing universe and make a ton of money off of making this unilateral thing. Marvel had done it in the comics long before anybody else.
Almost definitely. And they did a great job.
We'll give DC credit too. And Dark Horse and all these other comic book companies were doing it long before. They just took the comic book idea and brought it to the movies.
Right.
You know, but then you have, and the new, this is going to be the new playground in my opinion, Tim. And MCU kind of set the tone for this. The Dune, what's the game called?
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. Continue.
So the game is an alternate timeline.
It is.
So they
what if Rebecca didn't have
Paul,
and they end up having just the sister. Well, so okay, she didn't have Paul. She listened to the Bene Gesserits, and she had a daughter.
So the game is an alternate timeline. They don't have to adhere to anything except the core principles of what Arrakis is.
You have to keep
the houses.
The houses, like the main characters, like Paul's dad, the Duke, like Rebecca, the Bene Gesserits. Like that's all you have to know. But anything before Dune, you need to know. But anything after, like at the beginning of the first movie, does not exist.
Yeah, like the Emperor's still in it, and the I forget what his soldiers are called. But we have the ability now to tell a story that has nothing to do with the books, just using that as a background. I guarantee you're going to see a lot more of that because it's going to give the creative departments freedom to not adhere to. I look at a game like Lord of the Rings Online where they really had to work to fill in the blanks and try to pull as much as they can from the lore. And it reminds me, you know, at the place we're at with content now of like the, you know, when you squeeze a wet towel and you get to the point where you're like really twisting it to get that last drop
like,
out.
Oh, you're still moist, but nothing's coming out.
Exactly. So I have a feeling, especially in gaming more so than visual media, or I should say TV and movies, gaming is going to be more geared towards let's make alternate universes so we can turn it into a playground and not have to adhere to the principles of, you know, the exact timeline and story.
Do you remember the fad back in the day where every movie that came out had a video game attached to it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right? It was like, it had to.
Like I remember playing through the first Spider-Man, like when the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man came out, I remember playing the Spider-Man video game. Like that was really cool. Cause the only one before that was on PlayStation. And so, like, that was really fun, but that became, like, the norm. But to your point, you can't make a universe out of that stuff. Like, you can't even, like, create, like, your own Spider-Man game. Like what Insomniac is doing with Spider-Man right now. Like, they're creating their own, like, Spider-Man, like, universe.
VGCU.
We have a video game Marvel universe, like, right now. But then, like, you couldn't do that before. And like that's bland. Like, that's not fun. But like, that's, I think that's really, really neat now, is like, we have the ability to kind of live out those fantasies of like, what ifs.
And Wolverine takes place in the same universe as Spider-Man, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, that is Insomniac. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you're 100% on point.
Yep. Yeah.
This is the future.
Really, most definitely.
I think it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to... You got to understand something. If they were just taking the Legends content and just making it television shows and movies, people would still be complaining because, it's never a one-to-one adaptation that people want. If you did Rings of Power... And you made it the Silmarillion, which I have a lot of issues with Rings of Power, so let me begin with that, and then we'll go on to what I'm about to say. Sure. If you did Rings of Power as the Silmarillion, there is thousands of years where there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Peace, right?
Nothing. Just not like the Dark Lord is building and massing forces for thousands of years. Do you know how boring a one-to-one adaptation would be at that point?
Can't wait to watch that movie.
It's just Galadriel and what's-his-face walking barefoot in a forest for 500 years. Like, at some point, they do have to compress timelines. They do have to change things. They do have to do it. But even the problem I see a lot of the time is when they do bring Legends things in, there's no excitement. People immediately default to, like, well, they're going to butcher this.
Yeah.
And it's give it a chance. We saw Plagueis for 6 seconds.
Yeah, not even.
And people are already like, well, they're going to ruin him now. And it's like, what do you want?
Everything. They want everything and nothing at the same time.
He looked incredible. And that's all we got to run off of right now, is he looked incredible. And we'll leave it at that. But that's going to do it for Star Wars and Scotch today. So we have concluded Acolyte. Tim and I agree. 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's what I get. I think someone had asked me on stream, like, what do you rate it so far? And I was like, I'm not going to, like, tell you how I feel about the whole show until it's done. But I was like, it's like a 6-7, like, for me. So, like, yeah, 100%, dude. Like, it's not Andor.
Yep.
But it's not Phantom Menace.
Nothing's going to beat Andor anytime
soon. So, I mean, they just, like, they crushed it with Andor. I mean, like, it is just, like, that's the perfect show for me. I loved Andor with all my heart. I think that is by far the best Star Wars show we've gotten so far. But this isn't the worst Star Wars show we've gotten so far, or Star Wars movie. You know, I still really believe that this could have been a movie. If this would have been a 2-hour movie, I think it would have been great.
Yeah,
I think it would have felt a little. I think the continuity would have felt there would have been more synergy. It just would have flowed better, I think, if this was a movie. But overall, I'm down to see this as a show, because if we need two more seasons in order to tell this entire story, I would hate for this to be a 3-parter movie. I would hate to watch Acolyte Part 3, you know, but Acolyte Season 3, I'm okay with, because it's 30 to 45 minutes of just, like, you know, taking in a piece of content and then waiting till next week. I'm cool. Okay with that. I'm fine with that.
Well, that's going to wrap it on Acolyte. For Tim and Kevin, Star Wars and Scotch, we thank
Look
you for...
Us.
Tuning in. We finished another show.
We did it.
If you want to come check us out live, we'll be live from GCX August, I don't remember which day,
16th and 17th.
16th and 17th. Remember. I don't remember which day we're on. I got to look. And we'll let you know next week what day we will be on. Yes, that's my son peering into the camera. He read a book or something, so he wants money now for his book.
Oh.
I told him I'd pay him for every book he reads over the summer. So
nice. Good. That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, you can witness dadding in live action while as we record a podcast. Sometimes it happens to Tim. Sometimes it happens to me. But Tim, you can check out Darkness 429. He's live Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Put the book away. Twitch, YouTube, TikTok at Darkness 429. He's Darkness 429 everywhere on the internet. Are you done with Elden Ring?
Almost. I'm like, I just got to the last part.
All right, he's
so
almost done.
So DLC's almost done, and then we'll have to figure out what the heck to do after that. I'm going to figure out what to do after that. I don't know. You can check me out tomorrow. By the time you listen to this, it'll be about 5 o'clock in the afternoon on the East Coast. Tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/GCX event. We're raising lots of money for the kiddos. If we get to $45,000, I'm going to go sit in a pool of King's Coast coffee. There will be Daisy Dukes and cowboy boots. There will be sour candies, whipped cream, wax strips. Sabotage Bots will be playing Chained Together. So it's going to be chaos. So if you want to come laugh, you want to watch me do crazy, ridiculous things to myself for the kids of St. Jude, squishing melons. I'm gonna squish melons right here We're giving away all kinds of crazy stuff. Collector booster boxes from TCG Player, custom-made GCX rug, and more. So check it out. Twitch.tv/GCXMen, 8 o'clock.
Don't worry about me this week. Just go to GCX, like Tim said, and next week you can go back to watching Tim and I. But go to Tim's channel, GCX, and please rate, review, subscribe on Star Wars and Scotch on all the channels. My son is driving me nuts as he's walking to the side of the room. So, Tim, we have to
Let's get out of here! May the force be with you!
Always.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.